Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, it is so great to have Fran and Joe from Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever. How are you, gents?
Well, thanks.
Good to see you. And it's almost rare to have Rolling Blackouts at home in Australia. It's been a year that you really haven't been around a lot.
That's true, yeah. We've just been on the road for 2 months over in the US and in Europe and UK. So it's been a little while since we've been home, but feels
yeah,
nice.
It feels like a long time. It's good to be back.
I actually noticed that Songkick has said you've travelled 82,799 miles this year.
All right.
Yeah. All right. That's
We drove 22,000. Yeah, we figured that out.
Yeah, we drove further than our flight home from London, which is quite a long way. It's a lot of sitting down.
The other side of the world, yeah.
It's
a lot of plane meals.
A lot of plane meals, a lot of service station meals, a lot of Uno. A lot of Uno, a lot of underwhelming, enormous coffees.
It's all part of the fun,
it's
huh?
It's all part of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see as well that you guys actually travelled to make the album, because the first couple of EPs you made pretty much on your doorstep in your rehearsal room in the office in Melbourne. So was that a bit of a tick as well to actually go somewhere to make Hope Downs?
Yeah, we wanted to make it significant, and we wanted to record it in winter, but we didn't want to be cold. So we went up to where our drummer's from, which is Ballingen, New South Wales. The rest of us are from Melbourne, but he's from Ballingen. So we went up there and got up into some nice sunshine. And
why winter? Why did you have to make the record in winter, Fran?
Well, sorry, we didn't have to, but that's the time that we had set aside for it. Okay. So we thought, oh, we'll try and make it, you know, not too gloomy. Because we did the French Press EP in Melbourne winter the year before in the office, and we were just sort of... You could, you know, see the mist coming out of our mouths, you know, wearing jackets, doing guitar takes and stuff. It was pretty grim.
It was grim.
So we wanted to change
that. You've learnt not to do that again.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, going bush in Australia, yeah. Joe, was the Australiana not creeping into your music enough? You had to go into the outback pretty much.
You might hear a few bird noises in the background there, a few kookaburras and things. It was a pretty idyllic spot to be able to wake up every day and... So, yeah, Marcel and I often go down to the beach and have a swim or a surf and then come back, have breakfast and then get stuck in.
It's also good to see that for the album you brought in the Australian producer. There's no big name American just yet for Rolling Blackouts. You worked with Liam from Bells Will Ring, who could probably get a lot of your cultural references and ideas for the record when you were making it, Fran.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think he really liked the band anyway beforehand, and... our friend MC put us onto Liam, and we just hit it off straight away. He's got a real obsession with good tones, trying to capture good guitar tones, and so he was really perfect for us.
He's made a few records in farmhouses and faraway places, so he must be good at miking up
some rooms. Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, because we wanted to record it at a place that wasn't a studio. We wanted to go and get into a nice frame of mind and go sort of, get out of town. And, he's got this portable setup with this arsenal of really nice mics and analog gear. And so he was perfect for us.
From early on, you guys seem to embrace a lot of those Australian ticks. I mean, it seems you're allowed to because you're from here as well. Did you find that going into making the album? Were you sort of conscious of some of the ingredients that were going to be on the record, Joe?
Yeah, not terribly conscious. Like, I knew a lot of the songs were fairly finished, I guess. In terms of like the melodies and all that kind of stuff, so when we're writing them, we're certainly our ears prick up when we hear those kind of things. You know, they're like guitar tones that are reminiscent, maybe, and the melodies as well. But going into the record, it was essentially just trying to get the feeling right in the takes, and we all did it live in one room, and then we'd sort of just smash out take after take, and try and get that little magic one. So yeah.
And even a lot of the lyrics on the record are great to sort of pinpoint as, you know, typically Australian songs. Do you kind of have to be conscious of not writing too many postcard lyrics? I noticed that you fit Sydney Road into Sister's Jeans.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a song called Bellarine. So was it good for you still to be able to make a few local references in the writing of the songs?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we try and paint little portraits of different characters. And so, yeah, it sort of only makes sense to have those references in there to try and paint a more vivid picture. So, yeah, they filtered their way in through sort of naturally.
Have anyone from overseas been asking you what the hell a Bellarine is?
Yeah, yeah, they have actually, yeah. Yeah.
It's a beautiful peninsula down south of Melbourne.
You sound like you've got your ambassador spiel already there, Joe.
Yeah, yeah, I like that place.
And as you say as well, a lot of the sounds are already, when you see reviews of the album or people talking about the record, that so many, it must be nice to see a lot of the references that come across.
Yeah, yeah, it is It is funny, you see these little pockets around the world where they've got this real enthusiasm for Antipodean music. In a few different places that we went to around the States, there were some people we were talking to had this encyclopedic knowledge of some of the bands that have come out of Australia and New Zealand, but, you know, the Melbourne scene that we've sort of come out of.
A lot of them can probably put you to shame for the Australian bands they know.
Yeah, no, really. It's funny that you don't really think that anybody knows you know, local scenes to the extent that you do if you're living in it, but I suppose you can these days. You know, they can listen to Triple R in Washington, and they can, you know, listen to Spotify in Washington.
Yeah, and just, I guess, read up on the history of a place as well. They can really dig deep.
Mm.
It's also seemed that the demarcation in your songwriting from the EPs has also continued on for the album. There's three songwriters in the band, and I mean, just having multiple voices even within each song mean that you can get things done quicker and more effectively? Is it a good sort of tool in terms of writing?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, surely with three writers we can write more songs, but it'd be a bit more prolific than we would if it was just one person. And then bringing two vocalists into one song is just a kind of device we use to kind of not so much duet, but like bring characters into songs and bring other voices, give one character some context or something like that.
It's almost like finishing each other's
sandwiches.
Sandwiches. There's that great point in An Air-Conditioned Man where Tom comes in for the spoken word part, and he's got that great drawl of Jacaranda as well.
Mm, yeah, friend. So when we were jamming on that song, we had a sort of a rough structure for the song, which ended up changing quite a bit. But Tom came in with this spoken word part, like when the song was still quite a rudimentary sort of a song, and he came in with this sort of coup de grace spoken word thing, which then sort of changed the rest of the song before it. So then that sort of informed the front half of the song.
He doesn't have a history from doing spoken word poetry at open mic nights or anything.
He's not
like
much
that
of a slam poetry guy, but maybe there's a you know, career there for him. No, but he said, I think I'll put something on that. And then it was only a few days later he sent me a text with this, just what the lyrics were going to be. I thought, wow, that's really good. So then, yeah, and I ended up changing the lyrics for that song and sort of the overall feel of that song. And we ended up putting in a different chorus and sort of, yeah, that little section there informed the rest of the song.
There's a couple of moments like that on the record. Exclusive Grave has got that sort of real Cattle and Cain sort of vocal delivery as well.
Mm.
So it must be, you know, again, I guess it colours the record more than if it's just one person working on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the Tom Russo drawl again. He's got that certain way of delivering that's sort of got a bit of Forster about it for sure.
When you make the Rolling Blackouts documentary, he can be the guy that narrates it, right?
Yeah.
At some point in the future.
Yeah, yeah, I think, certainly.
And even, you know, calling the album Hope Downs is such a great sense of place as well. And I think you'll have reached, you know, peak Australiana when maybe you play there at some point. Are you floating this idea to go into a mining community show off the back of the record?
Oh, not sure. I don't know if Gina Reinhardt's much of a fan of the band.
It's more of a dig, I think. Yeah. Didn't use that.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't know the sense of place, the two words Hope Downs is such a great oxymoron if you think it's just you talking about feelings.
That's right. Yeah, it sort of sounds like a lot of the melodies that we have, just sort of the hopeful, but sort of a bit there's something dark in the undertow there. But yeah, the idea for the album is standing at the edge of this big abyss. And so that's sort of like a, you know, Hope Downs, sort of like a Grand Canyon, a man-made Grand Canyon type thing. Yeah, a lot of the songs sort of deal with this, the big unknown, the big impossible.
Well, there's a lot more of that to come for you guys because there's a lot more miles on the clock ready to happen.
Yeah, true.
Rolling Blackouts. And you're back in Sydney on the 28th of September at the Factory Theatre, which feels like ages away because you're about to go back overseas.
Yeah, we're going back to Europe and then to the States and then we'll be back. Yeah, I think, yeah. Next time we play in Australia will be Splendor, though, so that's going to be a good time.
It will, and we'll look forward to having you do the album launch proper in Sydney in September. For now, we might have a listen to Sisters Jeans off the record. Fran and Joe, it was great to talk to you.
Lovely to speak to you, Becca.
And this is Rolling Blackouts on Static. Thanks.